Good morning, and thank you all for being with us. This is, of course, Holy Trinity Sunday, and we are so thankful that you can be a part of our worship service today. Of all of the Sundays that we consider God and talk about God, and when we're talking and thinking about God, no matter what we want to think about ourselves or not, the simple fact of the matter is what we're doing is theology. Theos meaning God, logos meaning word or study, theology meaning the study of God. So, unquestionably, when we gather together every Sunday, we're always doing theology, but of all Sundays, Holy Trinity Sunday is a day for us to delve deeper, think harder, and perhaps, for a few moments, appreciate the notion of mystery. Now, I'd love to explain the nature and the reality of the Trinity to you, except I can't. I mean in the sense that I can't explain it to you any more than I can explain it to me in a way that makes human sense, because it doesn't. It makes divine sense. It makes sense to God. And we humans, we try to make it work. We'll say, well, you know, we know sometimes a person will have multiple roles in their life. I'm a father, I'm also a pastor, I'm also a son. Well, then God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's just different roles that God has. Only theology has taught us that's not what the scriptures tell us, that God tells us about himself. Specifically, God says that we human beings can only be one thing at a time. I am a father or I'm a son, but I'm not a father and a son simultaneously. Or, at the very least, I'm still only one person doing two tasks. Whereas God is three unique individuals, three persons simultaneously, always. Some people have said, well, part of God is the Father, and part of God is the Son, and part of God is the Holy Spirit. But again, theologians have told us this isn't what the scriptures teach. The scriptures teach that Jesus says that he is fully holy and completely God. The Father is fully holy and completely God. The Holy Spirit is fully holy and completely God. They're not a part of God, they are entirely God. And yet God is still three different persons. How can there be one God who is three persons? And is those three persons all simultaneously? And that those three persons are independent of one another and yet one being? I can't explain this to you. I'd like to be able to explain this to you just like I'd be able to explain it to me, but I can't because, well, it's a mystery. It is a divine truth that is so far beyond our human ability to comprehend that it simply stymies our ability to understand it. So you might say to me, well, Pastor Russ, that's interesting. That's complex. That's mysterious. But is it important? Is it really important for the average Christian to be able to do some of this higher order theology where we can answer questions like, is God always Father, always Son, always Holy Spirit? Yes. Is the Father entirely God? Is the Son entirely God? Is the Holy Spirit entirely God? Yes. Are they three unique individual persons and yet they are one being who is God? Yes. Is it important for you and me to be able to do that in our daily life? Is that something I need to spend my mental energy and time to wrap myself around, knowing that I'm never going to be able to fully understand and appreciate it because we're human? And as humans, we're never going to be able to pierce the totality of that mystery. Well, I would answer, yes. It's very important for us to be able to think theologically. But why? Well, I think there's a very singular and important reason why. And that is identity. Identity matters. Identity matters very much. I know who I am, and you know who you are. And I have a right for people to expressly know who I am based on who I truly am, not who people assume me to be, or you likewise have a right for people to know you for who you are, not who they assume you to be. God likewise, no, in a much, much greater sense even than humans, God has a fundamental right to be known according to God's only definition of himself. So think of it this way. I have a Honda CR-V. I drive a Honda CR-V on a regular basis. It's old. It's been around the block a whole lot of times. It's got nearly 200,000 miles on it. But it's my car, and I like it. And it gets the job done. And if you were to say, well, Russ, tell me about your car, I would say, my car is red. Well, the manufacturer might have a different name for it. The manufacturer might call it something fancy like, you know, Sunset Crimson or who knows what. But if you ask me what color is my car, I'd say it's red. If you ask the manufacturer what kind of car do I drive, they would say that I drive a compact SUV. If you ask me what kind of car do you drive, I'd say, oh, I don't know, a little red one. If you ask the manufacturer what is the name of my vehicle, they could probably tell you the make, the model, the year. They might even have some detailed information about the trim. That is to say, the rather specific way my make, model, and year is put together. Now then, if you were to ask me what's the name of my car, I might say my car's name is Car. That's it. It doesn't have a name. It's just Car. I might say it's my Honda. I might say it's my CR-V, but I might not. You know, my daughter has a car. She actually has a name for her car. She named her car. So why do I get to define my car in my terms? Well, the answer is because it belongs to me. It's mine. I bought it. I own it. I can call it anything I want to call it. And it gets a little dicey when I'm registering the car. I have to be a little more specific. But the fact of the matter is, the car is mine. I can define it in any way I choose to because it belongs to me. And herein is the important lesson. We belong to God. God does not belong to us. God is not a thing we own. God is not a possession that we can define for ourselves as befits our individual tastes, preferences, comprehending abilities. Or, to be perfectly frank, God is not something that can be defined by our culture or society. Instead, God belongs rather uniquely to God, and rather specifically, everything that is also belongs to God. God is our ultimate source of truth. And since God, our ultimate source of truth, has gone out of his way to identify and define himself, and this is what the scriptures do. They show us how God has identified and defined himself. We are bound by that description. We are bound by that truth. We have no control over God's truth. Oh, we can interpret it. We can do our best to understand it. We can find ways to apply it. But in the end, it's not a truth that belongs to us. It cannot be manipulated. It cannot be changed. And most importantly, it should not be misrepresented. So when God says, I am this, I am that, I am this other thing, we have a responsibility to know what those things are and to worship God as God has defined himself. And sometimes I'll talk to people that say, well, you know, all of that theology and all of that doctrine and dogma is fine, but I want to have a living relationship with God. I want to have a personal relationship with God. I have a one-on-one relationship with God. I feel God. God feels me. I don't need to know all that stuff. I have a living relationship. Well, a good theologian would say, you have a living relationship, but with what? With whom? Do you have a relationship with the God of the universe who created all? Do you have a living relationship with the God of the universe who died on the cross for our sins? Do you have a living relationship with the God of the universe who came down from heaven and came to dwell upon us human beings? Do you have a living relationship with God that is worshipped by Christians, or have you invented one for yourself? A literal golden calf of your own creation. And if we just try to feel our way into this spiritual state of having a living relationship with God of our imagination, We're just worshiping a false idol. We're worshiping something that doesn't exist. Or worse yet, we're bringing into existence something that shouldn't be, a false god. So when we as Christians set out on our journey to be Christians, understanding that one, we belong to the truth. Truth does not belong to us. Two, we belong to God. God does not belong to us. And three, we have a responsibility to know and understand truth from God's point of view, to know God in order that we know God's point of view, and to reject the truths of this world that are in fact false idols. So I say to you all on this Holy Trinity Sunday, yes, theology matters. Doctrine matters. Knowing God matters. Because if you and I are to aspire to be worshipers of the God that we know gave his life for us on a cross, the God that we know created all of the universe, if we are to aspire to worship God Almighty, we must also be able to recognize the false gods of the world that we live in that may masquerade as Christian, that may masquerade as faith, that may masquerade even as church. We need to be able to identify when we find a golden calf versus when we're seeing the actual face of God. And only in knowing can we do that.